one look at that. CBS blasts Trump for unprecedented breach of 60 Minutes agreement. Unprecedented breach of 60 Minutes agreement. Unprecedented breach. Who do these people think they are? They think they can do anything they want. They can videotape you, and then they have total control over it. If you have your own version of video and you release it, you've breached an agreement. What if they're lying about you? Which, what are the odds? Anyway, greetings and welcome back. Rush Limbaugh here at the one and only EIB Network. Telephone number if you want to be on the program. 800-282-2882. So I have a... got an email here from well-known white comedian Paul Shanklin. Well, that's how he has been referred to by critics of this program, white comedian Paul Shanklin. It's kind of like white Hispanic George Zimmerman in the Trayvon Martin case. And the white comedian Paul Shanklin, is that Connie Chung up there on C? Is that who that is? That is, that's Connie Chung. That, you know, that's Maury Povich's wife. You know that. That's Connie Chung up there. CBS blasts Trump for unprecedented breach of 60 Minutes agreement. I wonder what the breach was. Well, he walked out of the interview for one thing. But Leslie Stahl was, you know, I mentioned this yesterday. I mean, double down on this. Well, not double down, just reiterate. The other day, and it was earlier this week, I got a note from Cookie, who said that a very famous and top-tier elitist Washington journalist wanted to talk to me for 5 minutes, just, you know, off camera. And she'd mentioned the name, who it was, Leslie Stahl, although I didn't mention this when I first told you about it. I didn't say it was Leslie Stahl. And I didn't know they were doing a piece on Trump. The question that Leslie Stahl wanted to ask me was I going to make sure that you people in this audience didn't do a revolution, didn't run a revolution, if you were going to remain calm, if I was going to urge you to remain calm after Trump lost the election, or was I going to urge you to take to the streets and start burning things down? I told you everything about it except that it was Leslie Stahl. So yesterday I mentioned it was Leslie Stahl that wanted to ask that. Obviously it was for this Trump reporter. You want to talk about some bias? You want to talk about prejudice? This is worse than this is prejudice. The fact of the matter is, who is it that's burning down American cities right now? Not after the election, but before the election. Who is? And how long they've been doing it? Why? My take is it's Democrats. It's Black Lives Matter. It's Antifa. It's Democrats in blue cities, in blue states. They are rioting. They are looting. They are destroying property that isn't their own. It's happening. It's happening. Leslie Stahl can watch it happen if she wants to. And yet she had the audacity to want to talk to me to find out if I was going to urge you to remain calm after Trump loses the election. Or was I going to urge you to raise hell out there? And of course, it's insulting on a number of levels. Number one is I never urge audience activism. I don't have to. You people make up your minds what you're going to do. I don't have any. I do not look at you as not knowing how to behave, not knowing what to do. It even never crossed my mind to tell you to do something or not. It does cross the minds of leftists because that's what they want. They want control over people's lives. They want to be able to punish you if you don't do what they say. But it would no more occur to me to tell you to remain calm. Now, I know on occasion I have asked you to, you know, shh, don't tell anybody what I'm going to tell you. Don't want the wrong people to hear this. I mean, I've done that. But in terms of advocating mass behavior that would be bad behavior, I would never urge people to engage in criminal behavior to boot. Yeah, look at what these people believe. I mean, the audacity of this is just... And I've been around 32 years as though they've learned nothing about me or about this program, how it happens, why it is the size it is, why it's so large. None of it has mattered. There's no curiosity among any of them to find out. It's just something they wish weren't the case. And they do their best to defame it whenever they can. Okay, so the white comedian Paul Shanklin says, Rush, this election definitely about whose truths will be self-evident. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that among them, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And it's a good question. Whose truths will be self-evident? Are we going to stick with the founder's version of a creator? Of a God and his truth, or we're going to go with Karl Marx? You know, the reason I wanted to call your attention is it's a great question, because the problem is, you know, when you have the Joe Biden ad, America was an idea. Was. Past tense. America was an idea that we never lived up to. Joe Biden does not explain what his alternative is. We are leaving it up to the American people to assume they know what the alternative is. Do they know the alternative is Marxism? If they don't know that Black Lives Matter is a Marxist organization, then they will have no idea what the alternative is. They will not know the alternative Biden is proposing. This has been the age-old problem. This has been the problem I have faced as a host for 30-some-odd years. It's been a problem that all of us as conservatives have faced, and that is convincing people what the opposite of us is. It's not just the opposite of us as Democrats, particularly now. The opposite of us is communism. That's who it is that has their hooks into Joe Biden, and that's who it is that's writing and producing ads which say America was an idea. They are salivating at getting rid of the Constitution. They are salivating over the notion of getting away with the idea that our government puts the citizen first. They hate the Bill of Rights, folks. They hate the idea that it is government which is limited in our founding documents. They can't stand it. Even have a name for it. They call it the Charter of Negative Liberties. When I first heard that, what is this, negative liberties? How can there be such, that's a contradiction. Liberty can't be a negative. How in the world, negative liberties? Ah, then I realized. I had to ask the right people. I realized negative liberties from the standpoint you believe in government as the center of the universe. And naturally, you would hate the U.S. Constitution, because the U.S. Constitution limits the role of government in everyday life. The founders of this country realized that the natural tendency of human beings with power is tyranny. They knew it. They realized it. They built in checks and balances to assure that we didn't go tyranny. Then if we did, it was going to take a long time to pull it off. They knew. They knew what human nature was. They had studied it from the beginning of time. And it is truthful to say that the natural tendency of people with political power is tyranny. That is what is so miraculous about our country. We've been around 200-plus years. And we have had a piece of paper, essentially, the Constitution, that everybody has sworn allegiance and fealty to. amazingly. It would have been not difficult at all to rip it up at any time in the past 200 years. And there have been people that tried. There have been people that wanted to. But in the end, we somehow, and I believe it's because we are a nation blessed by God, we have survived where other people on this planet have not. Something about the sheer, raw decency, goodness of power as defined and expressed in our Constitution has intimidated even the worst of bad actors into leaving it alone until now. Now we have arrived at the moment where the Constitution no longer frightens the people behind Joe Biden. The Constitution no longer threatens them. The Constitution no longer intimidates them. You know why? Because they believe that a significant portion of the American people have no idea what the Constitution says. They believe that a majority of American people have no idea what the Constitution is about. They believe a majority of Americans have no idea what the Bill of Rights is. If you don't know what the Bill of Rights is, then how can you be upset over losing it? And to a point, they are right. We do have, because of so much ignorance in our education system, we have literally lost the education system, pop culture. We've turned it over to people who in two generations have dumbed down enough people in our country to make it possible to, in a presidential election, get rid of the Constitution. Stop and think of this. Because that's what's at stake here. You can't have a more meaningful and powerful presidential election, or election than a presidential election. And if you have a presidential election, and if one of the candidates literally believes in eliminating the Constitution by saying America was an idea that we've never lived up to, and if you can lie people, you can fool them into thinking that what that means is you want a better America. You want America without racism, without bigotry, without making fun of anybody, without laughing at anybody. Then you can bring off one of the greatest challenges ever. You can have the American people themselves vote out the Constitution of the United States. That's what's at stake in this election. That is what they are attempting to do. By voting Democrat, people are voting out the Constitution. They're voting to get rid of it. Unknowingly, they think they're voting to improve America. They have no idea what they're voting for. Doesn't matter. The Democrats are going to interpret their victory to mean whatever they want to say it means. And if they are going to say that Biden winning means people are fed up with the Constitution and Bill of Rights, then bye-bye Constitution, bye-bye Bill of Rights. That's their objective. So this election definitely about whose truths will be self-evident. We're going to stick with the founder's version of a creator and his truth, or Karl Marx. That really is what's on the ballot here. Let's take a break. We'll come back and resume with you on the phones right after this. Welcome back. Rush Limbaugh meeting and surpassing all audience expectations every day. Here we go back to the phones. This is Rob in Atlantic City. It's great to have you, sir. Hello.
Hey, Rush. How you doing? Great. Good afternoon to you.
Thank you, sir.
I'm calling about like tonight's debate. I think President Trump should press Biden on this whole thing. You know, I don't necessarily want him to go on a Hunter, But, you know, this is an opportunity for a lot of people to see what's happening. He could be compromised. And like I said, it's not really getting out to a lot of people. So, you know, I think it's something he should press him on.
You think Trump should press Joe Biden on Hunter or on the arrangement itself?
Well, not the arrangement itself, because I think, you know, possibly he could be compromised if he's beholden to the Chinese. I mean, you know, bringing Hunter in, he's going to have to kind of bring him in somehow. But, you know, like you said, a lot of people have children. But, you know, this is an opportunity for a lot of people to see this. A lot of people are watching tonight.
Okay, so I'm still a little confused. You don't want him to bring in Hunter, or you do?
Well, I was
Wait! Don't hesitate. It's my hearing. I didn't hear what you said. I'm just asking you to repeat what you said so I can understand it.
I got you. Yeah, I think he needs to bring in the whole China issue of him being compromised. I don't know if, you know, I don't think he should be attacking Hunter, so to speak, but obviously he's going to have to bring it in somehow.
Because you don't think enough people know about it, and Trump, unfortunately, is the guy that's going to have to provide the education to people about it.
Pretty much, because I think mainstream media is not covering it, at least we're not right now. There's a lot of things happening, and I think it's an opportunity, you know, for him to kind of go after him and ask him a question, politely, are you going to be compromised? Because
What are you most afraid of happening in this debate tonight?
Well, you know, like I said, Trump. I heard a couple people saying going off the rail. I'd like to see him maintain his composure and just cover the topics, and then you know, expose Joe for what he is. I mean, I think Biden's going to be able to handle himself if he's not interrupted. But I want to see President Trump win tonight. I want to see him come off presidential.
Aha. So in order for him to win, he has to come off as presidential.
I think so, yes. You know, I mean, people expect him who he is. We know who he is. He sometimes doesn't finish his thought. But, again, come off not attacking him. Come off presidential. But
well, you know, that's another thing. It's not that he doesn't finish his thought. It's that he assumes everybody knows what he knows. And in his mind, it's not that he's not finished. He's bringing it up, just reminding people. And in many examples, people don't know everything he knows. I'll give you a couple of examples of this in the next segment. It is a truism. Leftists love to say nobody's above the law, right? Nobody's above the law. Well, this is how Trump can deal with Hunter. If Biden tries to play the sympathy card, you leave my son out of this. My son's had some problems. My son lost his brother. My son is a terrible, terrible. You leave my son out of this, you ogre. You're a mean guy. As it is. I knew you're mean. I had no idea you had anybody to go. If he tries that, then what Trump has to say, understand that, Mr. Vice President, but your son is not above the law. I don't care what challenges he's faced. None of us are above the law. To which, you certainly aren't above the law either. You ought to be in jail. If I had anything to say about it, you'd be in jail. Let Biden be the one to go off the rails if he wants to. But there could be magic. There could be magic in Trump saying to Joe Biden, your son is not above the law, sir. It'll play to the exact sort of privileged BS that outraged people so much about these rich Hollywood liberals paying to get their kids into college. Remember how people thought that's not fair, that's not right? Remember how mad people genuinely were about that? Your son's not above the law. At any rate, I think that's how he could bring Hunter into it. And not make it personal about Hunter, but rather about Joe trying to protect him. All right, let's stick with the phones. Anchorage, Alaska. This is Marianne. Great to have you, Marianne. Thank you for waiting, by the way. I appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. Well, thank you very much, Shannon, for everything that you do. I have to tell you, though, that I'm a little worried. I'm a crusty old grandma here. I think I've lived during the best time. I'm just worried. We have such a wonderful constitutional republic that, you know, if the left wins, we may as well take the Statue of Liberty down. There will be nowhere else for us to go, nowhere else for us to live in freedom. What do you think?
I understand your concern about if the left wins the election that we will have effectively started down the path that ends.
It's been coming for decades. We're stuck up here under the Ninth Circuit. We've got these crappy these inept left wing DAs and judges that the media is all convoluted. I don't know. It's upsetting. It's upsetting to watch, you know. But you know, we have such a wonderful country. I just feel like we're getting cut down by the knees. I hope everybody gets out there and does what they can to get Trump elected.
Well, I think that's going to happen. I think a whole bunch of people are going to be doing that. The thing that we're always up against out there, Marianne, is ignorance on the part of people who are not inclined to vote for us. The left, the Democrats have no pun intended here, progressively moved toward communism every 10 years or so in our country. I'll never forget when Obama was elected in 2008. I'll admit, folks, I was blown away by how many Marxists and communists came out of the woodwork and knew that that's what Obama's election meant. I'm not expressing this correctly. I knew that we were trending left. I knew the Democrat Party was trending in that direction. I had no idea they had moved as far left as they had. We'd had 8 years of George W. Bush, and he won two presidential elections, and they were not landslide wins, but they were not by the hair of our chinny chin chin either. It were sizable victories, and yet, after those two terms, Obama wins, and we've got a whole different country that I didn't know existed. And they came out of the woodwork like they had just been let out of prison, like they'd just been let out of, cages at a detention center. And I remember being shocked by it. I remember being shocked by how many anti-American leftists there were. Not just Democrats, but I'm talking about anti-American who wanted to fully tear down this country and remake it, rebuild it. And didn't take long for me to figure out, but I was still surprised that they had made that much progress, because to me it had all happened underneath the radar. I knew what was going on college campuses, but everything, everywhere I thought this was happening, I still considered to be fringe. And I was wrong. There's nothing fringe about pop culture. And there's nothing fringe, basically, about academia. So what we face here is how much ignorance is there on the part of people voting for Democrats? How many people realize that they are now voting for communism? I don't know how many people voting Democrat are actually knowingly voting Marxism. I don't know. But I think the number is higher than you and I want to acknowledge. And I think that number is higher as a result of the education system, public and university education system. And you throw in whatever impact pop culture has had on the shaping of people's politics. And there has been a lot of territory that we have just given away. We've ceded. We've not even been competing for whatever reasons. So your fear is that if we lose this election, that the Statue of Liberty no longer applies, because this is not going to be the last best hope of America, because the whole premise behind that individual liberty and freedom, kaput. The Ninth Circuit's actually been getting more conservative. Trump has appointed so many judges to the Ninth Circuit, it's actually been getting more conservative. Now, it doesn't change the number of lying DAs and so forth you have to put up with in Alaska, but the actual Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals itself may not be the radical leftist bunch that we've always thought it was. At least it's trending away from that. That's another reason to give Trump another 4 years. He has been masterful in appointing judges to the federal bench. He's going to get Amy Coney Barry, Coney Barrett before the election. And that's something a majority of the American people are desperately in support of. So hang in there, Marianne. I have a little bit more faith than otherwise. Here is Kemp in Charleston, North Carolina. Great to have you. Hello.
Hey, Rush. How you doing, buddy?
Fine, sir.
Quick to the point. Joe Biden is the luckiest man in America, and we, the conservative constituency and the conservative media, have contributed to that. He'll never see a courtroom. Because if anybody ever tries to convict him of conspiring with the Chinese, the very doctors who say that he's of sound mind and body are going to turn right around and say that, I'm sorry, he is not. He is in the advanced stages of dementia. And all of this has been...
Now, wait a minute. Where have you heard that somebody wants to make a move on putting Biden behind bars?
Well, with the whole conspiracy, not the conspiracy, with what's going on with he and Hunter and the Chi-Coms. I mean, we all know what he did.
We all know what he did. Well, but that's a far cry from going to court and trying to put somebody in jail for it.
Well, but the point is that Biden is going to be able to say, I don't remember, I don't recall, you know, I'm suffering from dementia.
I understand it, but there's I don't know of a political objective out there that has as part of it putting Joe Biden in jail. I actually don't understand your point. If it is to say Biden's never going to get in trouble, well, neither is Hillary, and neither is James Comey, and neither is Peter Strzok Stroke Smirk. Now they all ought to be getting in trouble, but I don't know anybody. I'm not aware of an objective anybody has of a criminal prosecution of Biden. And he's going to get away with it because he can always say he's got dementia and so forth. I don't know. I'm confused. I got to take a break. We'll be back after this. Don't go away. Grab audio soundbite number 24. This is... I saw this up on CNN, but I didn't have the audio on, so I didn't know what was going on. Connie Chung was being interviewed by somebody at, who was it? It was Breonna Keeler, CNN InfoBabe. And I didn't know why, because Connie Chung did not do the Trump feature. That was Leslie Stahl who did that. But nevertheless, she was being interviewed out there. So I said, I wonder what this is about. Well, it turns out that Breonna Keeler had learned that the former CBS, he's not at CBS anymore, former CBS anchor Connie Chung had endorsed plugs. I guess she can do that now that she is a former InfoBabe. Of course, Connie, you're not fooling us. You were going to vote plugs no matter what. So Breonna Keeler said, Connie, you've endorsed a political candidate for the first time. It's breaking with tradition for somebody with your resume. Don't make us laugh, Bria. Come. You people make it known every day who you hate. You make it known every day who you're voting for. You don't have to actually verbally endorse anybody. We know. What do you think? We're a bunch of idiots? man, but this is a big deal. Connie Chung has endorsed a political candidate for the first time. Breaking with tradition for somebody with her resume. Why did you decide to do it? Come, wait till you hear this answer, folks.
I've always stayed in my lane. I've never jumped the fence into the political fray. But when I found out that Asian voters, can tip the balance in key battleground states, and Asians are the minority least likely to vote, I thought, my gosh, I have to do something because there are two groups that I relate to, women and Asians. Mm. So I jumped over the fence, Brianna. It was a big deal for me.
Oh, yeah.
But I felt it was necessary because of all the issues that are plaguing us.
Wait for it,
the least of which was the president calling it the coronavirus, the China virus, and
that was
sort of causing
that
violent
was
and not only physical but verbal abuse against Asians.
That's all it took. The minute he started calling the China virus, she was insulted. And she said, I can't put up with this. I'm not going to be insulted. I'm not going to have this virus named after my heritage. He does it. Well, what else is it? Was it the Wuhan virus? Would that make you feel better about it? Connie, are you this puerile? Are you really this childlike? You were out there, you want us minding your own business. You were behaving according to the tenets of journalism. And then this bad orange man came along and called the China virus the China virus. And that causes violent, physical, verbal abuse against Asians. It does. I haven't seen any of this verbal abuse or violence that Asians have been committing. That's all been coming from Antifa and Black Lives Matter. You also know, she said here, I jumped over the fence there, Breanne. It's a big deal for me. Felt it was necessary. You know, two groups that I relate to. Oh, here we go. Two groups. She said they're women and Asians. Folks, can I ask you a question? Do you run around thinking in terms of groups that you relate to? I'm just telling you, I don't. I think of myself as Mr. Individual every day. I don't think of myself as a member of a group. But I guess a lot of people do. It gives them comfort, I guess. It gives them a sense of identity or belonging, but I don't. Does this mean, ladies and gentlemen, I've gone through life alone? That I don't consider myself a member of a group or even two. But here's Connie Chung. Two groups that I relate to, women and Asians. What does that mean? Two groups I relate to. I don't know. I relate to anybody group-wise. You know, it's all in the way you are taught to think. I guess it's all in the way you're raised, brought up, taught to think about yourself. And I guess not a lot of people are taught to think of themselves as individuals. Here's Eileen in St. John's, Michigan. You're next. I'm glad that you waited. Hi.
Hi. Megadidos, Rush.
Thank you.
My point is that since Joe Biden has not been seen in 5 days and everybody else is doing his campaigning for him, what speaks to me is that he will not be able to negotiate with world leaders because they're not going to give him 5 days for every thought that he has to prep for it.
Well, he's not going to be president 5 days after he's elected or inaugurated, so...
Well, I agree with that because I think Camilla's husband, or Kamala, whatever, but anyway, he came out of voting and said he's married to the next president of the United States, which I thought was pretty interesting.
Right. Well, look, I think this is a campaign strategy. This I understand that you think Biden he can't go to sleep for 5 days and not negotiate with world leaders. That's not what this is. Biden is not doing this because he's incapable of doing it. This is a strategy. I elucidated, I explained the strategy in the first hour of the program today. This is a rope-a-dope. As I explained so adeptly and adroitly, if you're Trump, how do you run against somebody who's in bed? How do you run against somebody who's asleep? How do you run against somebody who's giving you nothing to bounce off of or react to? You can't. He's running against somebody who's in bed, in the basement, 5 days in a row. This is an attempt to get Trump to start talking about Biden in ways that will allow him to bounce off of Biden. So if your opponent is not saying anything, then you're going to have to put words in your opponent's mouth and then react to those. That's what they're trying to get Trump to do. They're trying to get Trump to start saying really caustic, mean-spirited, extremist things about poor old Joe. That's why Kamala Harris isn't saying. She's certainly not asleep out there. I guarantee you of that. This is a campaign strategy, and it's designed to frustrate Trump so that he will start behaving in ways that are not complimentary or flattering to himself. And so far, he's not taken the bait. He has not taken the bait. He's been really good about it. Their strategy has bombed out on them. It's not that he doesn't have the ability to show up for an hour or two someplace every day. It's not that. It's not that he doesn't have the mental ability to show up and talk to somebody for a half hour yesterday. It's not about that. Let's take a break. We'll continue after this. Don't go away. Well, looky here. We have a caller. We don't have time to get to the caller right now. So the caller, you better hang on out there, caller, because I'm going to come to you, but I guess it's going to be a while. Wants Trump not to hold back. Trump needs to be who he is, talk about his accomplishments, brag about all that he's done. He doesn't like this idea of being all defensive. We'll be back.